And we are back with another episode of the podcast presented by Simple Math Matrix. It's your boy, Mr. aka SuperRoll357, best known as Prince Godbody. And I'm back this week with a little bit, I guess, some surprising news. I do want to start off this podcast by saying rest in peace to Coolio. Legendary rapper Coolio did pass away, I guess, in his home while we were away over the last 2 weeks. If you're unfamiliar with Coolio, no, you're not. He is Gangsta's Paradise. It's probably his most notable song just because of the Weird Al Yankovic parody and just its inclusion in so much media in the late 90s and even up to today. He was also did the theme song for Kenan and Kel, which was really big for us as black kids, seeing a black show with black actors, with a black musician doing the theme song that was popping at the time. That was really huge for not even Coolio, not even Kenan and Kel, not even Nickelodeon, but the culture in general. So I definitely do want to say rest in peace to Coolio, who is a founder of the West Coast sound and really that West Coast ride music and everything akin to that. I just wanted to get that out the way. Not out the way, but I did want to make note of that because that was probably the most notable passing that did occur while we were away from you all. But now we're back with more shit, I guess to say. And this week, what we're going to start with is some news that we've kind of been talking about this for damn near all this year, honestly. It's been something that's been up in the air all this year. We thought it was going to happen. We said it was going to not going to happen. It was going to happen. Court case started coming up. So, you know, there's a bunch of back and forth. But finally, it has been agreed upon that Elon Musk will definitely be buying Twitter now. After they levied the lawsuit against him, where he said he was going to buy it, then he pulled out over the number of bots being portrayed by Twitter to him on the platform. That was the reason for him pulling out. But now he's fully back in. He will own Twitter at something like $54 a share. And he says that this will be the beginning of an all-encompassing, like, platform kind of base called X. And honestly, to me, if you really think about it, Elon Musk buying Twitter doesn't really mean anything until you think about how close he is to owning a piece of everything in the same way that Mark Zuckerberg, Robert Murdoch, and Jeff Bezos do. We've seen in our lifetime, if you're as old as me at least, Amazon go from a place where people would buy used books for school to a place where people buy anything. Amazon is now online Walmart. Walmart is not, ain't got shit on Amazon, essentially, is what I'm trying to say at this point. It's taken over that space. And with Elon slowly creeping up into all of these technological spaces, so now he owns an app. He has a company that's creating cars, a company that's creating rocket ships. He has proposed, you know, the lightning speed tunnel between in Los Angeles and things like that. It's like Elon Musk is trying to create the world that he wants to live in at a rapid pace. And people have become so enthralled by his, I guess, passion and drive mixed with his sheer ability to do some of this stuff that he is now, in my opinion, especially with this Twitter thing, being seen as a titan of the world outside of politics. The four guys that I mentioned, Murdoch, well, not even Murdoch, because Murdoch owns Fox News, so that's really more politically tied, but Zuckerberg, Musk, and Bezos, all tech guys, none of them political, but all of them have a huge political sway because of the things they own, and they own these things just because they were able to take this idea of this is where I want to live in the future and create it in their presence. But I don't know if Elon Musk owning Twitter is a good or bad thing. I know that monopolies are generally viewed as a bad thing. So that's really my, what leaves me wondering here is how are we seeing all of this and really complaining about it. Zuckerberg's in front of in court all the time for something Facebook's done, you know. So while we sit here and we shit on these people, why are we allowing them to take over society, especially when they don't make any laws for us? They technically don't have, they have the sway over lawmakers, though, I guess, is what it comes down to. You can't take that much money from somebody that puts so much money, not only into the economy, but in the pockets of the people making the laws, a.k.a. the politicians. So I guess I'm wrong in saying that these guys are not politically tied, because they definitely are directly politically tied, because, like I said, they have the money to do so. And that's one thing that we've seen just in general with celebrities nowadays, is that celebrity, like being a celebrity, damn near automatically makes you a politician now. Donald Trump winning the presidency really cemented that. If you're a celebrity, you can become a politician easily. You have the money and you have the influence. And that's all you need, honestly. And we got... We have one guy who ran for president last election that is thinking about doing it again, but also has been using these social media platforms, these lanes that these politically aligned tech guys created to kind of shout his words out. And that guy, we all know, is Kanye West. And I'm not really here to talk about everything that Kanye has been doing, because for me to get up here and just shit on Kanye West for wearing the White Lives Matter shirt, it would be redundant. We know that's absolute stupidity. We know that that's complete fucking nonsense. We know he's begging for attention with Candace Owens, for attention he doesn't deserve, and I just refuse to give him for that. My whole thing about this new string of yay social media tirades is that he's finally been shut down. He's been suspended from Twitter and the Meta platforms, which are Facebook and Instagram, for anti-Semitic comments. And that was after he said that he, on Twitter, he said he would go on DEFCON 3 on the Jews. And then on Instagram, he was calling out Jewish people that were involved in companies that he was currently having a dispute with. Which is, you know, it's, you should never lead any type, if even if you have a personal hatred towards someone, you should never direct that towards, that should never be directed towards a part of their identity, especially something they can't control. It's completely ridiculous to try and slight the Jewish people because they're Jewish. That's ridiculous. That's like slighting black people because they're black, which Kanye was doing this entire time. And that's the point I'm getting at. I understand muting him for being anti-Semitic, but why weren't you muting the same man that was wearing White Lives Matter t-shirts that we, if a white man do it, he would automatically be labeled racist, as he should, because that's being contradictory for no reason, a contrarian for no reason. So we know that that's racist. We know that saying slavery is a choice is not, it's not inherently calling somebody the N-word, but that's a downplaying racist statement. Why is it that Kanye was allowed to spew all this anti-black rhetoric, even anti-white rhetoric, if you want to go that far, on these platforms, and then as soon as it comes to the anti-Semitism, he's immediately shut down? I truly believe it's because the general public, even though they know that black people have had the hardest plight in this country alone, that we actually have faced legitimate hardships, shit, 60 years ago. Jim Crow was only 60 years, it's just only outlawed 60 years ago, and that doesn't even mean everything got fucking fine and dandy overnight. We know all of this about the black community, but why is it that we let anti-black rhetoric be spread on the internet, even by black people, so freely? And it's a problem because the public doesn't think that black people need help. It's not that they don't think we need help, as in we need more resources. They Black people are seen as strong. It's kind of like when black women go to the doctor, they underestimate their pain level. Black people are generally seen as people that can take care of themselves. They don't need protection because they'll protect themselves. But when it comes to other marginalized groups of people, they're not seen that way. I don't believe in my heart of hearts that the public sees non-black marginalized people as anything but weak. They're kind of handled with kid gloves. You're not allowed to have, you're not allowed to attack any marginalized group of people because they are marginalized. So they're the minority, they're the downtrodden, so they need protected, and they don't have the ability to because they don't have the courage. But how can you say that about all the other marginalized groups that are not black people when 70 years ago we were treated like animals, not allowed to live and, you know, eat in the same places, live in the same neighborhoods, use the same fucking toilets? It's like 100 years ago black people were not even people technically to America. So It's a combination of the public not viewing us as weak enough to need protection, and a combination with we've been doing it so long it's commonplace. And Ye doing all this shit and him finally getting banned for what he got banned for, and my mind reinforces what I'm trying to say, is that it's all fine and dandy when anti-blackness is spread because you're a joker, you're a dummy, we can discredit you because we're strong enough, you know, sticks and stones may break our bones, but if he gets up there and attacks the gays or the Jews, hey, stop, you can't do that. And they'll say history has shown that these people have been physically attacked, you know, over comments and such. And I do agree with that wholeheartedly. But black people were fucking whipped as slaves. Like, it doesn't equate to me. It just does not equate. And that's not me trying to divide anything. That's just me pointing out the hypocrisy and the governing of any type of hate crimes that kind of happen here in America. And that's just been something that's kind of been ongoing conversation for the last 2 years, 3 years, honestly. But I digress. Let's move on to something a little bit lighter, but not really. It's still kind of the same buffoonery, if you ask me. Not even if you, I know it's the same buffoonery. You can't sit up here and tell me that they didn't set this man up for this one, because it don't make no sense. It makes absolutely no sense to me why he would do this. And what I'm talking about is Will Smith. The newest Will Smith, the next Will Smith movie after the huge Chris Rock slap at the Oscars, it's going to be a fucking slave movie. The storyline doesn't write itself any better. Black man wins his first Oscar and in turn embarrasses himself at that same Oscars and gets banned from Oscars, from accepting awards, attending the Oscars. And then 6 months later, after they said they were going to cancel all his movies, halt production on all his shit, he comes out, makes a bullshit apology with bullshit tears in his eyes, and guess what? He drops a fucking slave movie. Yup, you heard it right. Will Smith's next movie will be a slave movie. In the year 2022, the man who just won his first Oscar playing one of the most prominent father figures in modern black culture is now going to play a slave. And one word comes to mind, and that's Bojangle, because that's what he's doing right now. There's no way that you're telling me that there wasn't a conversation in Hollywood that Will Smith had to pay for what he did at the Oscars, and him paying for what he did is him being a slave in this movie. I'm not going to see this. Like I've said before, I've said it a million times on the internet, in real life, everywhere. I'm tired of the black trauma porn. I don't want to fucking watch that shit. I don't want to watch civil rights movies anymore if it's just blacks getting beat. I don't want to watch slavery movies. You know what I'm saying? I'm so tired of Hollywood propagating this image of black people that it's we can only overcome and we can only overcome if we were slaves. It's like there's no black story to tell that's not tied to slavery, which is true in its essence. But when we're going for an entertainment factor, there's a lot more to black culture than fucking slaves, Martin Luther King, and Jim Crow. And that's what really gets me. They'll sit here and they'll make a fucking million movies about these white serial killers, a million movies about slavery, a million movies about Jim Crow, but they won't make another true-to-life biopic or even a good movie about Martin Luther King or Nelson Mandela or anything of the likes. You got to figure, we don't even have a real Martin Luther King movie. If you ask people, what's the Martin Luther King movie? They're going to say, My Friend Martin, which is a fucking kids cartoon meant to be shown during fucking Black History Month. It's not real. They don't put real images of real black people in the media, and they also embarrass us in the media, and it's sad to have somebody like Will Smith kind of do this, because I won't say he's a hero, but no, I will say he is definitely a hero. Will Smith is an acting hero to black people in general. So this is a disgrace, if you ask me, honestly. It's just a disgrace, and that's kind of all I want to say before I get too crazy on it. Speaking of getting crazy, Warriors practices have gotten a little spicy recently. If you've been off the internet, you haven't seen this, but you probably have, because you probably watch SportsCenter if you care about sports and you're actually listening to this. Well, we got some leaked footage from a Warriors practice, and it seems things got a little heated at Warriors practice over the last week. Apparently, Jordan Poole and Draymond were having, a little jaw back and forth, some banter, some kind of fucking with each other during practice and shit. It's said that they kind of had a little, rocky relationship before or whatever, but, teammates will be teammates. Well, this time, two teammates got into it, and Draymond Green is shown Superman punching and knocking out Jordan Poole on the video. Jordan Poole, doesn't really respond. Draymond does. He says sorry to Jordan Poole, sorry to his family, decides to step away from the team for a few days. And that time, Jordan Poole responds by going crazy in the preseason and then the last game they played. And a lot of people thought, or we all thought when it first came out, just the news that it happened, oh, it's going to be Poole or Draymond. We saw the video, and we definitely knew that both of them guys weren't going to stay on the same team. But honestly, looking at it now, unless Jordan Poole was putting in his application with that preseason game, I think these guys hash it out. Even though I don't think I could hash out somebody knocking me out cold in the middle of practice, especially when he not Michael Jordan or some shit like that. I guess it's a good thing Steve Kerr was there. But shit, if they hash it out, they got another championship on the way. Ain't no way you're telling me a team that just won a championship that they knocking each other out, that they not finna win another championship right before they go in the season. Shit, I mean, this is actually pretty good fucking, it's a good sign for a good championship, because then Golden Tate got folded up right before Super Bowl, if I'm not mistaken, or the other way around. So yeah, maybe this is a good sports omen, but either way, I hope that the Warriors don't win the NBA championship. I'm a Sixers fan. I'm not going to be rooting for them. Draymond's a great player. Jordan Poole's a great player. I hope they have terrible seasons. I hope they finish last in the West. It'll be a way easier route for us to the championship if they do that. So if any of the Warriors players that happen to be watching this, please take my advice, because I would love for my Sixers to win a championship and for y'all to make it easier for us. Giannis, you could have a terrible season too. I just need Maxi, Harden, and Embiid to have a stellar season, have a most improved player season from Tyrese Maxi, a defensive player of the year from Joel Embiid, and let me go ahead and get the MVP from James Harden, and I'll be totally happy with that, honestly. But I guess that's all wishful thinking, especially when you're a Sixers fan. But nonetheless, season starts on the 18th, and we'll all be looking forward to that. I can't wait to see what the regular season has to hold for us this year. And finally, I'm all by myself this week, as you can see, so kind of slowing down when it comes in transitions. That's the worst part about doing this all yourself, especially with no monitors in front of me. I guess if I do solo pods from now on, I might just do it from the desk. It might be easier to do it that way and more comfortable for everybody involved, including the viewers. But one thing I do want to get in before I get out is these the music that's been dropping. We've been gone for 2 weeks, and a lot has come out in the last 2 weeks. The end of September and the beginning of October has been an incredible time frame for underground rap music, and it will continue to be. We'll get more slated through the end of the month. We've got Michelle Records, we've got Liz 2, we've got the Droog album coming out. We've got a lot of shit coming. But what I want to highlight today is the fucking run Boldy James has been on. Boldy James released Killing Nothing at the top of the year, and immediately it was the only competition that Pusha T had in my mind. After a while, it became my favorite album of the year. It went way past It's Almost Dry, just off of pure. Boldy has this sense about him that he's not, he's too, I don't even, it's not a sense about him that he's too cool, because that's a bad way to put it, but the way that, I'm trying to formulate this, it's hard to do it by myself, because usually I have somebody break it up for me, but the best way, I'm going to get it. Boldy James, the way that Boldy James raps, especially this last like year and a half, has been almost too cool. And I think that's why he hasn't gotten the shine he deserves. Like I said, at the end of this month, or end of last month and this month, we're getting crazy underground releases. But Boldy James has dropped his second project of the year with Nicholas Craven, with Fair Exchange, No Robbery. And Boldy is the best rapper this year. Like I was saying before, Boldy with Killing Nothing had surpassed It's Almost Dry and Push, and everything he had done, as amazing as that album was at the beginning of the year. And we knew we were going to get this project, but when it dropped, to have 10 perfect rap tracks is mind-blowing from a guy like Boldy, who has to be mixed perfectly, because he's not yelling in the mic. He's just telling you this story, and he's laying these bars out so plainly, but yet so intricately. There's not a big show on this album that aren't the beats. The beats are the entire show on this album. But what you really want to pay attention to is how Boldy's rapping. Boldy is hitting the pocket on these loops and on these beats in a way that you'll be sitting there riding, and then you'll be like, hey, yo, what the fuck did he say? And you'll run it back a good 45 seconds and realize that Boldy hasn't ramped up the volume of his voice, but when he hits that pocket where he picks up a little bit of speed, and then he starts to get like more intricate with the metaphors and starts throwing them in more subtly without, that shit gets so damn, it's so crafted. I gotta say that the way Boldy James has moved this year has to make him rapper of the year, because he hasn't come out with, I'll say, the radio songs or even songs, but as far as pure bars and lyricism, other than Mock, God, Fahim, and Droog, Boldy is one of the only people rapping out right now. Like, honestly rapping. And I gotta say, he's picked the amazing production, because every beat on that Real Bad Man project is crazy. Because that was the complaint about Boldy for a minute, was the beat selection mixed with him rapping. But now he's with Nick Craven supplying him these 10 beats. This is one of those perfect pockets for Boldy. If you want to see a perfect like producer rapper combo, look to this album. This is one of those things that they say they did just spontaneously, and you can almost see that it's spontaneous just from the way that it's, that the album is sequenced, but it's so like, it sounds so good, even on a meticulous level. You would have thought they spent months and months on this, especially with it being 10 perfect tracks, as opposed to 8 good ones, and or 8 perfect ones and 2 good ones, or 6 perfect ones, 2 good ones, and one eye. You know what I'm saying? This was, Bodie James is the best rapper of the year, and I would not have said that, I don't think, last year. I really loved Bodie last year, but this year I feel like he cemented himself as a top 5 in the underground, without a doubt. And that's pretty much all I got to say. And that's it for me this week. Check me out on, or check us out on all social media platforms at Simple Math Matrix. That's Simple Math, M-A-T-R-I-X, on all platforms except for Twitter, where it's Simple Math Matrix at Simple Math M-T-R-X. And it's your boy Mr. aka Superball 357. It's been another episode of the podcast, and I am out.